It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced, proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million, I'd build a tree fort in our yard. If I had $1 million, you could help, it wouldn't be that hard. If I had $1 million, maybe we could put a little tiny fridge in there somewhere.
Yeah, we could just go up there and...
All right, welcome to Speak Out for Thursday, May 28, 2026. I am Paul Lavoie, and the original Paul Lavoie, my father, would have been his 97th birthday today, Brian.
Happy heavenly birthday.
Heavenly birthday.
Is that what it is?
I guess so.
I don't know how to phrase that, but I read it
anyway. Yeah. That sounds good. 97, I can't, you know. And I was telling you.
Wait a minute. How old is he when he passed?
83.
Yeah. Oh, so been a minute.
I was telling you.
Oh, wow.
When he was born, he was the 12th of 12 children.
Well,
six boys and six girls.
Back in those days, you know, like 25% didn't make it, and you had to have more.
Very true.
For real. And you had to run the farm, and you couldn't hire hands, so you had kids.
Before he
different way of life.
Before he was born, there was like an encephalitis outbreak. And
oh, my
gosh. You had all kinds of stuff. I mean, you think it's bad today with the plague and COVID? I have a friend that calls it the plague instead of COVID.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, happy birthday, Dad. And I know he's always watching over. And I'm not a junior, by the way. His middle name was Edward.
Mine is not. Got it.
That's why I'm Pauly. So people were calling me Junior. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. So it turns out the US Festival, US 83, on this date in music history, was day one of the US Festival. And I went to that. I didn't realize I went to it on my father's birthday. I wrote Brian Springfest.
Oh.
Because we were talking about it before the show.
I like it.
Anyway, we are not playing music from the US Festival, although we could. You would like the New Wave tape, for sure.
I don't mind
Missing Persons is in there.
What are words for?
Yeah, exactly. And Walking in L.A.
Walking in L.A.
Right. So anyway, welcome to the show. Yeah. We haven't had Brian in the studio in so long.
What's going on? Yeah, I got lost on the way here.
It's politics, man. It's literally political, not office
season.
Politics, but political season.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, if you're listening now still, we have, I should just grab the calendar. Leo Biasucci will be here. He is going to be talking about his run for state senate because he's termed out in the House.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah, brought a lot of jobs and what do you call it, road work to Lake Havasu City and Bullhead City with the Highway 95, you know.
Improvements.
Yeah. Ten years of what? Construction and smoothing and striping and all of that. It's supposed to last 10 years anyway. So, yeah. Leo running for Senate, and we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Right on.
So, yeah, it has been a little bit, but...
I'm kind of lost right now. I don't know what to do during your show.
Yeah. So stock market has really just more or less shrugged off geopolitical events around the world, economic events here at home, The Dow currently at 50,596, so crossing over that 50,000 mark. S&P 500 at 7,563, which is also significant. So there definitely has been a movement and thought process in the vast majority of the corporate world and stock market that corporate profits are going to continue to do well despite inflationary pressures here at home, which include, of course, not only, I mean, the cost of everything, but what is most noticeable since the Iran war started is the price of gas at the pump. Havasu, because one of the things, of course, we all immediately think of is, this going to have a fairly serious negative effect on our local economy here, because we are a driving destination for cars and trucks pulling boats and trucks pulling campers and RVs. So anytime you see a spike in the price at the pump, we start wondering if we'll see a significant drop in tourism. And I don't think we did. I don't know what the numbers are, but the town seemed busy, if that's a any kind of a measure. Driving around, and certainly the lake and the channel, everything seemed to be kind of going off. So, but man, the gas station sure stuck it to you. I filled up. I went to a concert just overnight, Sunday night, at Pappy and Harriet's, which is an amazing venue, by the way, if you've never been, just outside Joshua Tree. And, yeah, I think it was Terrible Herps, $5.40 a gallon for 87, you know, for regular unleaded, yeah, at Terrible Herps. Now, it's not like I was filling up at a fancy station. It was, you know, with discounted gas or whatever you want to call it. So, definitely was significant. But again, really not taking into serious consideration that one of the concerning or warning signs, though, right now, is actually the bond market. And the bond market can have certain things that occur that signals, you know, kind of danger, Will Robinson, relative to the stock market. And that is if the yields on bonds, the interest rates, really start spiking upwards. And that's happening. And so that is a sign that there is definitely a lot of risk going on in the market right now. That being said, there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of capitulation on the upward movement through 2026. I would caution investors with new cash to really think about their timelines before they'll want that money back, you know, the specific types of investments and areas that they'll be putting money into, because certainly different kinds of companies can prosper or suffer disproportionately when things get a little bit more risk adverse, and risk really starts getting built into the numbers. But man, one of the things driving it, listen to this statistic, global chip sales, you know, computer chip sales, mm-hmm, are going to soar. The expected increase is a 60% rise over last year.
In sales. I wonder what that means for cost.
60% increase, and that, of course, is predominantly going to be because of what we're seeing in artificial intelligence. They're saying that of all the chips created, that AI chips are going to account for at least 30% of the sales of that. By the way, that's coming off of almost like nothing a couple of years ago. So that's in no small part why we're kind of seeing that. You know, big tech is going nuts with spending. Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, Microsoft, they're putting something like $700 billion in capital expenditures this year. NVIDIA, the biggest winner, they're expecting their data centers to be receiving, you know, that's those AI chips, mm-hmm, will in no small part will be going to NVIDIA and their data centers. They're expected to see $333 billion in those chips just in NVIDIA going in for fiscal year, this year, basically, this calendar year for fiscal year 2027. That's a 70% increase. So just really huge things moving in that direction. Unemployment, man, we're still just kind of in this okay phase of where it's almost tipping like there are some jobs opening up. Expectations for unemployment by the end of the year, according to Kiplinger's, is that it ends where it began this year at 4.3%, just slightly above normal long-term average rates. Existing home sales are expected to be down just slightly in 2026, due in no small part to, we saw mortgage rates kind of get elevated again a little bit, and that of course would have a little bit of an effect to the downside. So we are continuing to just kind of plod along, but man, your portfolios, after having some downward volatility earlier this year, if you're in the U.S. stock market to some small extent, you've definitely seen those rebound and doing pretty well in the scheme of things. The next kind of thing, though, is really how long the conflict in Iran keeps going. Personally, the way I look at it is I get while it's no big deal for now, but the longer it goes on and the more money, that extra money that gets drained out of the economy towards oil-related products and gas, I think at some point it's got to give, right? There's got to be a crack at some juncture, and so I'd expect that to start playing some role.
Well, it's got that, okay, we're going to pause with a ceasefire, and then what happens, right? We get shot at by drones, or now they're reporting that drones were shot down. It seems like Iran is resupplying every time there's a little ceasefire. So it's just my take. It almost feels like a forever war.
Well, what it feels like is I don't believe anything that my own government or the Iranian government are saying, because it's been proven that they're lying over and over and over since the war began.
I'm not disagreeing.
So I don't even pay attention to it.
I'm not disagreeing.
I don't even care what they say. The Iran war is over. But we're going to demolish Iran off the face of the planet. Iran's like, we're shutting down the strait. I'm like, you know what? You're all just politicking, and you're all just messaging to curry public favor one way or the other.
I'm going to pull out your soapbox
Let me know when it's done.
I'm going to pull out your soapbox for a second, because I have a real question here, okay?
Fire away.
Well, you being a certified financial planner and in charge of a lot of portfolios, what does that do for you, the news that it's just kind of, okay, now it's stagnating?
The war?
Yes. Does it mean anything?
It means only things relative to its effect on our economy, our stock market, global economies, and global stock markets. Mm-hmm. That's the only things that I, you know,
like that 574 gallon gas
will incorporate to it. Yeah, and what does that mean?
Yeah, it means a lot.
Because you know, everybody has their politics. Everybody, you can have your opinion on the war of good idea, bad idea, long term, short term. Are we going to get regime change? Are we exactly where we were, whatever, months ago, but we've spent, you know, X billions and billions of dollars and lost lives and wounded soldiers and good, you know, that is not germane to how I advise clients. What is germane to how I advise clients is how that directly affects their money and their portfolio, and to be able to try to plan for it. But keep in mind, Paul, like I've always said through the years, I don't necessarily care what causes volatility in my clients' portfolios. I need, and neither do you, right? Mm-hmm. All you know is that there might be downward pressure, and is there a plan to deal with that and accommodate that and think through that? We can't predict what and when. That has been proven over and over again, just through, you know, the Iran war. It's not anything people were thinking was going to happen and planned to happen with a portfolio, but it happened. And the pandemic, same thing. And September 11th, going back, believe it or not, 25 years ago, which is insane.
Yes.
Or all these, you know, or the tariffs or whatever that caused temporary or more severe downturns in your portfolios,
the vast majority of those things you had to have a plan for, even though you didn't know when it was going to happen and what was going to cause it. And that is a good financial plan. That is how you do it. And it's easy to lose sight of that when you're in the middle of a bull market that's been going on now for 3-4 years, and you're in a artificial intelligence revolution, which is funding all kinds of profits, which are making investments in many sectors incredibly profitable. You can't lose sight of the fact that that is not a constant thing. That worm does turn, and while it's less meaningful while you're building your portfolio and you have some years to go, and becomes more meaningful as you get closer to using the money, whether that be for a financial goal or retirement or a lump sum or whatever it may be, you have to put all those into the equation. But in the meantime, economically, in terms of investing, still a pretty good time. Even fixed interest rate annuities still guaranteeing 5.45% or so for a 3-year guaranteed contract. So every year you make about 5.5% guaranteed. Or if you go 5 years, then that number jumps up, and you make even, and you know, so we're still in this environment where you can make a decent guaranteed interest rate with no stock market risk. Or if you've been in this market, you've seen some wonderful appreciation over the last 3-4 years. So really, things have been pretty good for a little while now, but you just need to make sure you're doing makes sense. And all the reviews I keep having day in, day out, these are the things we're talking about. And yeah, I am making some tweaks right now to a lot of client portfolios, because the number one thing that is shifting what may make sense in a diversified portfolio, I already alluded to, and that was bond yields going up and inflation not under quite under control, and interest rates being not high, but let's say a little elevated, but I definitely wouldn't call them high, and those have different effects on different size companies. For instance, as a rule of thumb, smaller companies, and in the stock market world, that's less than a billion. You know, I mean, they're huge.
Right.
They historically borrow and finance more. So elevated interest rates eat more into their corporate profits, which more negatively influence their stock prices. And so lower interest rates tend to more heavily favor small cap, is what we call it, because there's more financing. And longer term bonds don't tend to do as well or suffer more in an environment where interest rates are elevated or going up. So you want to be like, boy, what am I doing with my bond portfolio? Should I be in bonds to some extent? Maybe. But am I in short term, mid term, long term bonds, and all these different things that you're going to definitely want to consider feeding into your portfolio and what you're doing. And then even rebalancing. We talked about that on the show, I think maybe even last time I was here or a time or two ago, about, yeah, you need to, if you got some home runs and your portfolio is a little too heavily weighted in one direction, risk-wise, it can be a problem. So what you want to do sometimes is rebalance, but you also got to be careful, and I've been doing this, all kinds of these things for clients, that you don't incur a significant tax liability if it's not inside of a tax-deferred investment like a traditional or Roth IRA. You may, if it's just an individual investment account, and you're like, yeah, I really need to rebalance, well, that could trigger a significant tax liability. So lots going on there. We're going to take our first break of the hour. And we're going to move over Rover and let Jimmy take over.
Yeah,
I
changed
my mic. Oh, my God.
It's the S Festival, man. I can't change it.
Yeah.
I can't change the date. It's in excess anyway, right? That's from day one.
I love it.
In excess was, they had
huge
Divinals, in excess, Men at Work.
Wow.
It was crazy.
It's down under.
Yeah. David Bowie headlined that night.
Oh, yeah, he was the headliner. So,
good Lord.
Yeah, I'll play some. This is day one, which I did not go to. I went to day two, which was heavy metal day. So
sweet.
But they call Triumph heavy metal. So anyway,
not much.
Yeah, not to me anyway. All right. Sound advice with Brian Springberg. We could celebrate Hendrix because we've done it before, but we've never really celebrated the US Festival. It was huge. I'm finding playlists online. That's how cool AI is. From 40 years ago.
It's the best. I'll turn you on to this thing. I found a buddy of mine forwarded me this site. It's unbelievable in terms of accessing. This company is uploading concerts with the playlist, with the bill, online. And so you can go back in time and catch just audio.
Right.
Live of, like, Zeppelin at, you know, the East Fillmore in 1971, blah, 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 and the set list. And you can find almost any band in the world that way.
We were at Thorogood at the Edgewater. See, watching George Thorogood in Laughlin, and I did that, and I found out what was coming up next. Here it comes, da-da-da-da-da, right?
Yeah.
And it had this part of the tour is this playlist, and that part of the tour is that playlist. Shows that hadn't even happened yet. I'm like, wow. I mean, so they file their playlist before they even go on?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Crazy.
All right, back with more in a moment. Here's a little NXS, Don't Change, and We're Not. Oh, we've got a text we'll read in the next segment, too.
Cool.
Hopefully. I haven't opened it yet, so we have to check that. That's called PI, right?
PI.
Yeah, Paul Intelligence.
Oh, God.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
There's a chip for that.
Pauli Intelligence. That's an oxymoron. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Like music when it was developed in a garage, not in a corporate setting or whatever they do now, you know. It's, I don't know, not computerized either.
Yeah,
that was all on 1-inch tape, more than likely.
Of course. Yeah, it's been a minute back in there.
It's
been a bit of minute since, you know.
That's funny. That's like what the kids say, right?
That's how I like to talk. I'm trying to relate.
I got you, man.
I'm trying to relate to all the demos out there.
Fair.
Oh, God. Ick. That one I hate.
Oh, I get it all day long, man. Well, for 3 hours a day. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Here she comes, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. You'll like this one, Brian.
Yes.
It's from the mind of Dallas Finch.
Oh.
Comes Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads. Home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. I don't know what the Booby Dropper is, but go in and tell Dallas and all of those folks you're very happy that they sponsor Speak Out.
Yeah.
And, especially Brian Springberg.
I'm super happy.
You're in the next billboard, by the way.
Oh, okay. So I think we had a question texted in.
Good
yes.
Call.
Yes.
I have had, this is from the text line, 928-727-5566. I have had $50,000 in CDs now. I'm going to move that money over to an Arizona Municipal Bond Fund. Is that a good move to do away with the tax on the earnings?
Hmm. So, it's, here's how you kind of think that through. If you're in a CD, if you're in a high-yield savings account, if you're in an investment portfolio, not part of an IRA, Roth IRA, 401k, you get a 1099 every year on the interest or dividends, whatever the case may be, whether you take that money out or not. So you got 100 grand in a CD, you make 3%, you leave it alone and you let it ride, you still get a 1099 to pay tax on that $3,000 of interest, even though you don't pull it out. So that doesn't change. If you take that 50 grand and you move it to an Arizona tax-free municipal bond or mutual fund, bond fund, then what changes is that, one, the dividends from that in that bond or bond fund are federally tax-free. And if you're an Arizona state resident and you buy a bond or bond fund that is an Arizona bond fund, then you also don't have Arizona state taxes. So whether or not you should do it, the factors that go into that are going to be related to your tax bracket. So if somebody, let's say, says, listen, I'm retired, my only income is Social Security, and I get a small required minimum distribution from my IRA, I don't even pay taxes, or I pay 10%, then the tax-free aspect of anything is less appealing because you're not really getting the benefit of a tax break because you really don't pay any or much in taxes. So what you then do is you compare the CD yield versus the bond yield. So in other words, if you've got a bond that has a yield of 3% and a CD that pays 3%, and you don't really pay any taxes, then there's really no, on the yield, benefit one over the other. Except, CD, you lock up your money for a period of time. A municipal bond fund is liquid, so you can just sell at any time, so you don't have to worry about an interest penalty like you would in a CD. So it actually would add liquidity to your portfolio, in addition to discussing just about returns, if that was something that was important to you. If you're in a higher tax bracket, then the more appealing, obviously, a tax-free investment like a municipal bond or bond fund would be, because your real rate of return, we know, is how much you make less taxes. So if you are in the 25% federal and state tax bracket, let's say, and you're in a CD that makes 3%, or you have a bond that makes 3%, well, in the CD, your real rate of return obviously isn't going to be 3%. After taxes, it'll be 2.25%, because you're going to give up 25% of that yield. So now your real rate of return is 2.25% versus the tax-free 3% in the bond fund. So that's how you break down, you know, what you should do, and then you throw in the liquidity. There is one additional thing, though, to consider. Bonds, until they mature, can fluctuate in value. If interest rates go down, the value of most bonds goes up. If interest rates go up, the value of most bonds goes down. So if you liquidate or sell your bond or bond fund in a certain interest rate environment, it's possible you would make additional money in addition to the yield because the underlying price of the bonds went up and you sold it. It's also possible, however, that the price of the bonds can go down in a different or rising interest rate environment, and therefore you would actually sell the bonds at a loss if you sold prior to their maturity. At maturity, bonds are worth what you paid for them. But in a bond fund, that's a constant liquidating thing, so there's really no maturity on that mutual fund or exchange-traded fund. So you would definitely want to factor in the what you think the interest rate environment's going to be. If it's an increasing environment, then you want to be a little more cautious. If it's a stable or decreasing environment, then you would either be unaffected or positively affected in those scenarios. So that's as succinct an answer I can give to a great question, because it allows me to touch on the three of the things that I have expertise in, and that is investment tax planning, investment, growth and, making returns, mm-hmm. and liquidity planning and how all those factors go into helping somebody make a good decision. So we got to go to our second break of the hour. What do you got queued up from that fest now?
Live Triumph from the festival, day two, and I was there.
Get your Canadian rock and roll on right there.
Fight the good fight.
Okay.
And Rick Emmett was on, man. His voice was, he was nailing it.
Cool.
All right. I've watched this several times on YouTube, by the way, but this is not the YouTube platform that I'm on, so this be Spotify, of course.
Cool.
I've got Diamondbacks tickets for next week. They're on the road right now. I was trying to think of who they play tomorrow. Diamondbacks versus the Nationals for Friday, January 5th. You can't have the Saturday tickets because they're mine.
June 5th.
Did I say January?
You did.
Oh, I wrote. Okay. June 5th.
Yeah.
Friday, June 5th, Diamondbacks versus Nationals. Four tickets, 6:40 first pitch. I'm not sure what the promotion is that night. They just had Jersey Night, one of three Jersey Nights, and it was a purple Diamondbacks jersey. I don't think it was the Serpientes. I got that last year.
Oh.
That was cool, dude.
I got a hat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That promotion nights are the best, right?
Yeah, well, like, sure.
Plus, right now, because of Corbin Carroll, you can get upper deck seats for 50% off. Just put in the promo code DBACKS50.
Yeah.
He just got his 50th triple of his career.
That's crazy.
Which is, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's killing got it. Wheels.
Right. 928-854-5687 if you want tickets to the D-backs a week from tomorrow night. Four tickets, 6:40 p.m. first pitch, Diamondbacks and Nationals. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out, Sound Advice with Ryan Springberg, and you know them as the Babies, right?
Yeah.
That's the Babies. They had some edgier songs.
The Babies.
John Waite. Remember Missing You, where he wasn't missing you, but he was?
He wasn't missing you at all. Yeah. That was such a huge...
He wasn't missing her, but he was. That's why he kept saying it over and over, right? He
sounds confused.
Nah, he's a little spun. What do you want? All right, Speak Out. Brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management.
Woo!
Love those guys. Or that guy. Right? And Sam.
Me and the boy.
How's Sam doing?
He's great.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just great?
He's great.
Great.
Yeah, he's a smart kid.
Do you do the evaluations?
For on Sam?
Like quarterlies or annuals or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, no. We talk in debrief every day.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Every day.
Cool.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean... He's a certified financial planner in his own right, but yeah, in certain cases, a little bit of sophistication. I'm like, what would you have done? What do you think
nice.
I should have said? What do you, you know, whatever, and just try to get him where he is. But yeah, it's not like he hasn't been doing it for a little bit.
Do you find your dad coming out at those moments?
No.
No, not at all?
No. I mean,
because he mentored you, right?
Yeah, not a ton.
Oh, I thought he did.
Yeah,
okay.
No, but my dad was... Very life, you know, some,
sure.
But most of it was training with the actual investment, you know, firms and going to conferences and that kind of thing. My dad was a life insurance expert, which did some investing. And so I cut my teeth as one of the top life insurance sales guys in the country for a while there. I was top 1%. So I have a lot of experience and do that. But I do way more on the investment side than he kind of did in his career.
I got you. Well, it was sure a good interview with Jerry Springberg that I did, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I remember.
Cool. Yeah, I miss him.
All right. Also by the chair by Laughlin Ranch, also Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. Don't forget, the primary candidates forum is Wednesday, June 17th at 5 p.m. live on 106.7, 5 and 3. And on KNTRTalk.com, we'll be streaming live from the Performing Arts Center at the high school. So there you go.
Lots going on.
June 17th. There's a lot going on. We'll have legislative
District 30 candidates, city council, of course, mayor. I think I've got to get the sheet, but that's the top three billing right there. So
yeah, it's good. I mean, because it's especially today, right? People can kind of manipulate who they are via
social media
more than anything.
For
and
sure.
You know that, and all the listeners, you know that, just because you'll look at some posts from like friends or people you know, and they're like, their life is literally the most amazing life in the history of humankind, and you're like, oh my God, I know that dude. His life is a total train wreck, and they're lying, and they don't like their kids.
I look at the
whatever it is, but it's like, it's so funny.
I look at the background like, their yard or their house never looked that good.
Yeah.
They posed it, right?
So anyways, but obviously messaging in advertising, whether that be radio ads or print ads or social media ads, but what you can't fake is when you're in a debate at a forum and you're getting asked questions, and because if... You know, you're going to come across, you know, it's not easy because you might be nervous and a lot of people aren't used to public speaking, but you're going to have to come across as competent and know what you want and likable, and somebody who's doing it for the right reasons and what those motivations are. And you can get a read on that way better in, live. Than you can via any other format. And so having these formats and these debates and these kinds of things are vital. I mean, there was a day in American politics, right, where not only there was nothing except maybe there was like a wire dispatch spread across the country because presidential candidates toured on the back of a railroad car, right? Right. And then people would come and take wagons for a day to go hear somebody speak.
The Lincoln-Douglas debate.
The Lincoln-Douglas debate.
Yeah.
And
right.
That was, old school politicking, to where there was no door to door. It was like middle of nowhere to middle of nowhere.
That's literally where the term stumping came from. When you're on the stump.
You stood on a tree stump. Elevated.
Right, elevate yourself.
So
right.
People could hear and see you speak. Yeah. So. I'm so pleased that's coming up.
And thank you for saying that, because we want people to come to the PAC, the Performing Arts Center. We want people to be there, not just listen on the radio, because we'll post it later on our website, kntrtalk.com.
Have all the candidates replied? Is everybody going?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Cool. Well, that could also...
That's in the Chamber's hand. It's a partnership with the Chamber and Today's News Herald. We've done it every... I like to say every year, but obviously it's not every year. Every election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to, I guess, what we do and what we talk about. It was interesting. One of the things that you need to do also with your investment products is if you bought something or purchased or invested in a... let's say a cash value life insurance of some kind, universal life or variable life, variable universal life, or a variable annuity or something that had a maturity date or you've owned for some period of time, it is important that you review that for a whole lot of reasons, because sometimes you can find yourself down the road in a difficult position because maybe what you purchased 25 years ago is not maybe as applicable to your financial situation now, or it's going to be maturing and then you're not going to be able to afford replacing it, or it's going to mature and they're going to force you out of it and it's going to cause you to incur a significant tax liability. You do have to keep up to date on that. One of the things that has come up in my office is that some clients who wanted a guaranteed lifetime income, also wanted stock market exposure, also wanted to guarantee some death benefit in case they passed away for their spouse or their kids, at one point or another got involved in a variable annuity product. And if they've been around for a while, then the penalty phase or maturity phase has come and gone. But products change, And in many cases, they actually improve. And so this morning I was meeting with a client who had one of these, I want to say bought it 15 years ago from me. And she has done very well for herself. And so by moving from one variable annuity product to a different one, we were able to more than double the guaranteed minimum death benefit. We were able to increase her guaranteed income for life by a third. And she started a new penalty period. But the reason in her case it was a non-issue is because she has significant invested assets and savings elsewhere that are fully liquid with no strings attached and doesn't have any debt. You know, no mortgage, no car payments. So the fact that somebody says, oh, I'm going to be having some strings attached to this pot of money for a period of time, in her particular case, was 100% meaningless. It doesn't bear anything because this particular block of money was not money that she needed to have full access and liquidity for because of all the other great things that she had done by building up her portfolio. Somebody else, same exact situation in terms of being able to improve their annuity, may not be able to do it. I shouldn't say may not be able to, shouldn't do it, is that what I should say, because they don't have enough liquidity elsewhere or they do have debt elsewhere, and so they cannot rationally justify tying up that block of money now that it's free from penalties, because they may need to access that money in a pinch. So don't prejudge anything because it has a certain amount of elements that you feel may be limiting to you, because, yeah, it's limiting, but it may not be actually applicable or affect you in the same negative way it may be somebody else. So she's going to be improving everything across the board on the guarantees that she wanted. And in terms of a liquidity concern, it's not going to cause any trajectory in her overall financial plan. But the other thing you obviously got to know always is fees. You know, so she doesn't have a fee coming out. There's no sales charge going in. But you still want to do a fee comparison 1 year over the next to make sure that if it does cost more, again, that doesn't make it bad out of the gate if you're getting benefit for it. But you obviously, if it costs more and you're not improving significantly enough your situation with the features that you want, then you steer clear as well. And when you're looking at financial planning, like I always allude to, there's so many things that go into it, and those are some of it. But that was a real example of something that happened to a long-term client of mine that we were able to really take a jump up that, you know, she loved. She's like, okay, so let me get this straight. My guaranteed income is going to go up by about a third of what I get now. If I pass, I'm going to be able to guaranteed have a much larger minimum that would be passed, maybe more, depending upon how the account does. But at a minimum, I'm going to more than double that would happen if things get squirrely and there's a downward turn in the markets and I pass during that time. So it all kind of came together. So that was quick. It's been a while, and man, we just kind of rambled right through that, as we do, Paul. But hey, everybody, have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy. Still nice and temperate out there. Stay safe. Shop local. And vet your political candidates. Don't go by slogans. Don't go by social media posts. Actually, get out there and hear them speak and find out what kind of human being am I dealing with here. That'll probably go a long way to helping you figure it out. A little clash my way.
Joe Strummer.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Take care now.
You bet. All right. Brian Springberg. Again, you can reach Brian 928-855-9421 and say hello to Robin. She pretty much, no, I mean the listeners, Brian, not you. I said hi to her already. All right, back with more in a moment. Enjoy some Clash.
So Marissa's shaking her head. Her head. I guess flock of seagulls were kind of a joke in your vocabulary, or what?
No. Hello. Every time
that held the microphone right up to your mouth.
Every time I hear flock of seagulls, I just think of that guy in The Wedding Singer.
at the airline counter?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
funny.
Him.
Okay, flock of seagulls. That is funny. All right. Let's see. Who do we have on next week's show? Well, tomorrow, Leo Biasucci, of course. Talking about his run for state senate. You can stay on if you want. Caroline Strecker is on Monday after Hospice of Havasu. We'll have, I believe, WACOG will be in. It's not going to be Carol. I believe it's the new head of WACOG in Yuma. All right. Also, the Havasu Pioneers radio show on Wednesday. Brian is set to be back on Thursday. I don't think he knows that. He kind of left, like, you know.
In a hurry.
He's packing a suitcase or something. All right. Also, Michelle Lynn is going to be here on Friday. So there you go. That's Friday the 5th. And I still have those Diamondback tickets. I know we had a caller after the show the last time we gave away tickets, and she was successful in acquiring those tickets. So we have D-backs versus the Nationals. Four tickets, 6:40, first pitch. And that is a week from tomorrow, Friday, June 5th. I actually wrote Jan on here. So.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. That's funny.
Nice buffering on my part, right?
Good job.
All right. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. This is Space Age Love Song by, of course, Flock of Seagulls. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.